Hello and welcome to my podcast, No President is Above FISMA Law. My name is James Patterson, the author and producer of this podcast. Today is December 21, 2020. Today, in episode 64, titled Cyber Warfare, Remediation of U.S. Federal Government External Enabling Systems Vulnerability, I discuss the serious cyber attack into U.S. federal government systems reported in December 2020 and the most effective long-term solution to prevent such cyber attacks launched using external enabling systems allowed by the federal government contracts. My discussion includes the following points. 1. The current event reported in the news media during December 2020. 2. Understanding what is an external enabling system of the federal government. 3. Federal government contracting officers, the gateway to all federal systems. 4. Impact analysis and remediation. And 5. Recovery and prevention are two different things. Point 1. The current event reported in the news media during December 2020. The cyber attack was discovered in December 2020. It occurred months before. It has been described as the worst ever United States government cyber attack. At least 6 United States government departments, including Energy, Commerce, Treasury, State, and Homeland Security, were targeted and breached. Microsoft Corporation was also targeted. The attacks were also described as ongoing. The attacks started as early as March 2020. What happened? Software made by the private sector company SolarWinds called Orion was infected with malicious code, aka malware. SolarWinds was using the Orion software to provide services to federal government agencies. The cyber attack started with attacking an American private sector company, SolarWinds, and its Orion software. The malware established remote access to victim organization networks. This remote access provided a means for hackers to execute cyber attacks, which may include deleting data or information, altering data or information, or stealing data and information. Microsoft called it an attack that is remarkable for its scope, sophistication, and impact. Point two, understanding what is an external enabling system of the federal government. To fully understand what is meant by an external enabling system, the listener of this podcast should review NIST Special Publication 800-37 Rev 2. NIST is the acronym for the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I also want to mention that on YouTube, there is a NIST webcast titled Risk Management Framework, parentheses, NIST SP 800-37 Rev 2, close paren, overview and deep dive. The YouTube video title is NIST RMF Webcast, a flexible methodology to manage information security and privacy risk. Now, getting back to NIST Special Publication 800-37 Rev 2, the risk management framework described in 837 has been revised so that now in 837 Rev 2, the risk management framework is recognized as RMF 2.0. In RMF 2.0, there are references now made to supply chain guidance. Also new is a preparation step which precedes the original RMF 1.0 six steps. In this new preparation step, there is brought and integrated into the RMF strategic thinking into information security, which involves senior leadership. In NIST Special Publication 837 Rev 2 and in the YouTube video noted can be seen a slide titled RMF REV 2 Conceptual View of a System. The slide explains the relationship between a system and external systems that provide support to the system. Those external systems in the slide are identified as enabling systems. An enabling system might be a system created, owned, and used by an American private sector company, such as SolarWinds, which created the Orion software to provide support to U.S. federal government agencies. It is important to note that SolarWinds, through a contract relationship with the federal government, was allowed to provide support to the federal government agencies identified earlier in this episode. From the slide, we learned that external enabling systems characterize supply chains the federal government depends upon. Point 3, federal government contracting offices, the gateway to all federal systems. An enterprise that desires to do business with the United States federal government does so through a contract relationship. The contract specifies the working relationship between the external service provider and the federal government. It is highly unlikely that any enterprise outside the federal government and having no contract with the federal government would be able to use its software to touch or access any federal system. In the case of the cyber attack discovered and reported in the news media during December 2020, SolarWinds had contracts with multiple federal agencies within the departments of our federal government. Thus, SolarWinds was allowed to use Orion software to provide service to the federal government. As noted earlier, the SolarWinds Orion software had been infected with malware. Point 4, impact analysis and remediation. According to news reports, as of the date of this podcast episode, very little is known as to what was accomplished by the cyber attack. It will take substantial time, money, and human resources to reach final conclusions. What I wish to emphasize here is that remediation and prevention with regard to the cyber attack are distinct practices. Simply fixing what was harmed does not represent an effective tactical defense to prevent such cyber attacks from being repeated successfully. Point 5, prevention. Before I discuss cyber attack recovery and prevention, I wish to make an observation which supports the recommendations I shall make. The observation is related to the United States Patent and Trademark Office, aka USPTO, Cybersecurity Division, prior to my retirement in January 2017. Observation. Fact. The USPTO Cybersecurity Program required that all contractors providing cybersecurity services to the USPTO must provide proof that the contractor's system is FISMA compliant and authorized to operate. Having stated this fact, I know my following recommendations are feasible and effective in eliminating or minimizing cyber threats as reported in the news media during December 2020. Recovery includes a review of all systems and data associated with a cyber attack. This is very costly. It takes a long time to complete these recovery activities. All affected federal systems must be reviewed. External enabling systems are not included in the recovery activities. Prevention includes identifying how the cyber attack was possible and defining and implementing requirements that will minimize or eliminate the risk of such an attack from being repeated. FISMA law mandates certain methodologies created by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, aka NIST, N-I-S-T, that will eliminate or minimize the risk of another repeated cyber attack, such as reported in December 2020. From my understanding of the NIST methodologies, I propose the following actions be performed by the President Biden White House administration. 1. Ensure every federal agency within every department of the United States federal government has an effective cybersecurity division to plan, implement, and manage an agency cybersecurity program. Point 2. Mandate all federal agency contracting offices to include in all contracts with organizations outside of the federal government content or clauses which states that the contractor providing services to the federal government and all of the contractor's subcontractors providing services to the federal government must show proof that the contractors and its contractors are FISMA compliant with regard to system resources and data to be used in providing services to the federal government. The proof, which must be provided, must be a FISMA-compliant security package that contains NIST Special Publication 837 methodologies and artifacts from a current security assessment. Lastly, point three, identify insider threats which may impede or obstruct the actions identified in points one and two just described. Refer to episode 54 of my podcast for more details on insider threats. This concludes episode 64. Until next time.